Welcome, my friends, to the Generations broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, your host. Bill Jack, also in studio with us from Worldview Academy. And we'd like to bring a biblical worldview to bear upon the issues of the day, especially during a period of time in which the Christian faith has much less influence upon the culture, in which the violation of God's commandments, the encouragement of the violation of the commandments of God, is almost constant from state governments and the federal government. And so we were interested in the Donald Trump proposed two-year budget that was just approved by the Congress of the United States. Now, the most important element in the budget is obvious to Christians and yet not so obvious. This was the thing that really mattered more than anything else. But so many ignored it. The evangelicals ignored it. The conservatives ignored it. The Republicans, by and large, ignored it. Nobody really talked about the babies. Bill, you remember 3 years of the videos that came out exposing Planned Parenthood as they slaughtered babies, cutting up their bodies and selling off their body parts. Well, apparently, the Congress and Trump are all on board with the $544 million of Planned Parenthood funding and continuing it into 2018 and 2019.
Yeah, they turned a blind eye to the atrocities committed, and just as German Christians did during the reign of Hitler. During the Nazi reign, they turned a blind eye to those who were the most vulnerable, those who were the ones that who should be protected were being slaughtered. And we are going to answer for that. We're going to answer for that here in this nation if we do not rise up as Christians and demand justice for the unborn who are slain.
So interested in their foreign policy. They were so interested in their building the fence around the crack house we call America. They were so interested in defending the empire. And so the $544 million of funding for the slaughter of the innocents through Planned Parenthood was of little interest and really wasn't debated. They just blasted right through it and approved this irresponsible budget for the United States of America. All that Republican posturing after seeing Planned Parenthood slaughtering the babies, apparently they're still okay with it. Now, the vote passed in Congress by 240 to 186, 73 Democrats voted for the bill, 67 Republicans voted against it. And I think some of these Republicans probably had a conscience against a budget that was as unprincipled as this budget was.
Well, I would hope that they would come out and say why they voted against it and that they would raise the alarm, yeah, especially on these issues.
Yeah. So, friends, again, you know, we whitewash politics. We whitewash the White House again and again and again. All the whitewash in the world is not going to fix the problem. All the rhetoric in the world, all the resolutions to commemorate the right to life, worthless. When you turn around and throw another $500 million at Planned Parenthood, Bill, it's the rhetoric doesn't matter. It's follow the money. It's follow the money that matters. So, my friends, we're going to talk a little more about the budget. What a heartbreak. When it comes down to the most important, the fundamental issues that would direct the nation towards humility, towards repentance, and towards perhaps in some way allaying the judgment of Almighty God upon the nation, inevitably the conservatives break down and they do it again and again and again. So as Christians, we need to continue to cry out for the mercy of God upon this nation and realize that so much of the American evangelical faith is a fraud. We'll be back with more in just a moment on the Generations broadcast.
It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith, and it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson. And I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case. A historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leiden, and William the Silent, the American Pilgrims, and the Battle for King's Mountain? How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org. Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson here with you as we chronicle the decline of Western civilization, the breakdown of the American Republic. And it's interesting how republics break down. Almost all empires break down. This is what happens. They become proud. They want to make the empire great again, and then they fall. This is the process. It's happened again and again since Nimrod's Babel and Augustus Caesar's Rome. Friends, again and again, these empires come down. This is how it happens. It's interesting to chronicle it, and we're certainly seeing the economy collapse around us, largely through the influence of John Maynard Keynes, the great economist that spawned the idea of deficit spending and enforced it, encouraged it upon the modern nations. And it's only been in the last 30 years or so that John Maynard Keynes' philosophy has been taken dead serious by American presidents. And so as we see the ideas of a homosexual pedophile, that is John Maynard Keynes, destroy the world economy and the American economy, it's important for us to realize that ideas, that philosophies have consequences upon entire empires. Well, the deficits are going back up again. Obama brought them down to about $484 billion, $435 billion. But Trump's first year, it's going to be $666 billion. His second year will be $833 billion. His third year will be $1 trillion. His fourth year, another trillion. So Trump is doubling the deficit over what it was during the last 3 years with President Obama. So just keep that in mind, that the conservative president, Obama, his deficits were half of that of President Trump. The biggest debt spenders in history will be Ronald Reagan, George W. Bush, and Donald Trump. Friends, please understand this. The biggest debt spenders in American history, as the final history books will be written upon an empire that once was, the biggest debt spenders in history will be Reagan, George W. Bush, and Donald Trump. Now, again, I'm saying this because there's an irony here. These are the presidents that will be blamed for the destruction of the republic. It's an irony because everybody thought they were conservatives, but it's a big lie. Just be aware that people are taken by really, really big lies again and again and again. President Donald Trump's two-year spending plan was approved by Congress, as I said, and the debt-to-GDP ratio is scheduled to climb again to about 109%, which puts us right next to Greece, Italy, Mozambique, and Japan. Not exactly the strongest economies in the world, Bill.
You don't think?
Mozambique and America, neck and neck. Fighting it out for the weakest economy in the world. And President Donald Trump's 2019 budget represents an increase in spending of 7.3%. Obama's last increase was only 4%. Bill Clinton's last two budgets provided a 4 and 5% increase in spending. George W. Bush, his first two budgets provided 8 and 7% increase in spending. So in other words, if you're comparing the presidents, the last two budgets presented by Bill Clinton provided a 4 and 5% increase in spending. The first two budgets of the conservative George W. Bush was a whopping 7 and 8% increase in spending.
Yeah, he gave the Democrats all they wanted as far as spending goes.
Yeah. So, and we're seeing the same thing happen with Obama and Trump. So who's more conservative? Well, obviously, Bill Clinton and Obama are the conservatives. George W. and Donald Trump are the liberals. Now, I want to commend Rand Paul because, you know, it's nice to have an honest man step up to the microphone from time to time. And he did so on February 8th as the Senate shut down debate and went straight to the vote because apparently enough of the guys had been a little backroom shuffling around and they had agreed that they would all, Democrats, Republicans, whoever, would approve this gigantic budget. And we read that the media said that the Republican colleagues –
of Senator Paul grimaced as he approached the microphone at 6 p.m. on February 8th. And they grimaced because they were afraid that he was going to tell the truth. They're like, okay, everybody stick your fingers in your ears because Rand Paul, at least there's one courageous man who's willing to stand in the gap and say the truth while the Republic is self-destructing. He said, when the Democrats are in power, Republicans appear to be the conservative party. But when Republicans are in power, it seems there is no conservative party. You see, opposition seems to bring people together and they know what they're not for, but then they get in power and they decide we're not going to spend that money too. We're going to send that money to our friends this time. Now, this reminds me of the comment I've made probably 100 times on this radio program. Republican walks into the restaurant and he orders a little less than whatever the Democrats have in there. And the cook always gives him more.
Yes.
Okay. So friends, keep that in mind. This is the way it works when you have no principle. When you have no foundation, when you are not committed to the righteous principles of God's law, but you're there for pragmatic reasons because you're a power hungry, power monger, and all you're there for is to consolidate power and money because what you want to do is control and to control and to control because you are a power monger. Well, he says the hypocrisy hangs in the air and chokes anyone with a sense of decency or intellectually honesty. The right cries out our military is hollowed out, even though military spending more than doubled since 2001. The left is no better. Democrats don't oppose military money as long as they can get some for themselves, for their pet causes. The dirty little secret is that, by and large, both parties don't care about debt. The spending bill is 700 pages and there will be no amendments. The debate, although it's somewhat inside baseball that we're having here, is over me having a 15-minute debate. And they say, woe is me if you get one. Everybody will want an amendment. Well, that would be called a debate. Take it or leave it. You know what? I'm going to leave it. I didn't come up here for this. I didn't leave my family throughout the week and travel up here to be a part of something that is so much inertia, so much status quo that they're not leading the country. They're just following along, and it's a big ball rolling down a hill, grabbing up your dollars. As the boulder rolls down the hill, it gets bigger and bigger. It's going to crush us, but nobody has the guts to stand up and say no. I like Rand Paul.
Yeah.
At least at this moment in his political career. Yeah,
at least on the issue of the economy and the budget. You've got to recognize that he sees the problem, and that is, you're right. Republicans want to outspend Democrats when they get the power.
So I guess as we consider these things, friends, why should we be concerned about economies? Why should we be concerned about this money? Well, because we're concerned about the Sixth Commandment. Because we're concerned about the Republicans and the Democrats funding Planned Parenthood and the slaughter of innocent babies in this country to the tune of $544 million every year. Because we're concerned about the Eighth Commandment as well. There are Christians who are concerned about the Sixth Commandment. They're against abortion. There are families concerned about the Seventh Commandment, and they're against safe sex lectures in the public schools and homosexuality. But there are also Christians who are concerned about the Eighth Commandment and the redistribution of trillions upon trillions upon trillions of dollars on the part of our governments should be a concern to Christians. There is, in our government today, a massive institutionalized violation of the Eighth Commandment. And it ties in, of course, to the network of campaign donations, the billions upon billions upon billions of dollars that is put into campaign donations. And then these guys turn around and they fund their favorite causes. It doesn't matter if it's Republican or Democrat. Almost all of them do this. Well, it's the worldview behind us also that concerns us, because why would a nation want to spend its great-grandchildren into debt? Well, it's because of the greed and the self-orientation of the day. And this is why Americans elect these guys, because they live this way themselves. The greed, the self-orientation that spends into debt so long as we can live high off the hog and live at the expense of future generations is the worldview of John Maynard Keynes, and it's going to ruin the world. Well, the Bible presents debt as something that is helpful to the poor. This is the principle. It's not for the greedy. Debt is for the poor. That's the principle from Deuteronomy 15:7. If there be among you a poor man of one of your brothers, you shall lend him sufficiently for his need. Friends, that's a biblical worldview in relation to debt, not the worldview of John Maynard Keynes. He says, no, 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 no. You engage the fractional reserve banking system and you lend out on the money put in 3 to 4 to 5 times the money that was placed into the bank in order that you can maximize the use of interest for those who want to continue to gain money from that for which they didn't earn. Debt is not for the rich. Debt is for the poor. And it's greed that's always trying to get rich quick and take advantage of fractional reserve banking. It's greed that wants to build barns and stores quicker on debt so as to beat out the competition and make a lot of money quick. It's greed that wants to live beyond our means and purchase luxurious accommodations on debt. It's greed that mainly wants to take advantage of rising property values on a debted investment so that a $20,000 down payment is worth $60,000 when that $200,000 house revalues at $240,000. Friends, it's greed that focuses in on this. This is why, this is what motivates so many people into a debt-based market. They want to make money quick. They're greedy. And they won't submit to a biblical concept on debt. Well, but the most important thing here, Bill, is that our nation is not willing to back off the funding on Planned Parenthood. I still come back to this. This is the more fundamental issue for our nation. And I think it's time for Christians at least to stop whitewashing Washington. We need to stop whitewashing the White House. We need to bring us back to biblical principle on all of these issues and come back to biblical foundations. This is what this nation needs more than anything else.
And it may not happen for some time. I mean, look at William Wilberforce in England, how long he worked bringing about an end to slavery.
40 years.
And once he got one act passed, which outlawed slavery, he worked for another 26 years to ban slavery altogether. It was the slave trade that was first banished and then slavery altogether. So he was tireless in his efforts, as you said, 40 years. And he wasn't satisfied when he got one done. He worked for another 26 to get the other one.
And he was outnumbered, but he was also backed up by an evangelical revival
yeah.
of the time. You think
yeah.
of John Newton and others that brought in that strong evangelical revival. And without the reviving of the churches, without true Holy Spirit conversion and regeneration in the churches, I don't think, Bill, we can expect Washington to change anytime too soon.
Exactly. You know, one legislator put it this way when he was speaking to a pastor. You want us to pass legislation that you will not speak on from the pulpit. You want us to pass legislation on issues that you will not address from the pulpit. So there is a need for strength in the churches to call the culture back to righteousness.
And we need to call the culture and the churches back to biblical foundations. And a biblical authority, that the Word of God speaks with authority to every issue of life, and it's there to equip the man of God for every good work. Some of you may have been a little taken back that I used the Word of God to address economies and to address the issue of John Maynard Keynes and his indebted system. But friends, the Word of God is there to equip the man of God for every good work. We need to come back to the epistemological authority of the Word of God from the very first verse to the very last verse, Old Testament and New Testament. We need to rebuild the foundations of this nation on the truths of God's word. And that's why we're taking the Bible conference to Washington, D.C. this August. You know, it's the week of August 7th. The whole week will be virtually covered with various tours, various biblically based tours of the Bible Museum and other important elements of this nation's founding there in Washington, D.C., and also the Bible conference that Friday and Saturday. So we are putting together a Bible conference in Washington, D.C. during the week of August 7th. And may God use this in a powerful way to perhaps relay some biblical foundations under families and under the states and under the nation itself, that there be something of a revival and a reformation that spreads across this nation. Friends, it begins with you. It begins with your family. It begins with your local church. But consider the Bible conference in Washington, D.C. You know what was President John Quincy Adams, that I believe is one of the 4 to 5 committed Christians who served as president of the United States over the last 250 years. President John Quincy Adams said the distribution of Bibles, if the simplest, is not the least efficacious of the means of extending the blessings of the gospel to the remotest corners of the earth. The hope of a Christian is inseparable from his faith. Whoever believes in the divine inspiration of the Holy Scriptures must hope that the religion of Jesus shall prevail throughout the earth. Never since the foundation of the world have the prospects of mankind been more encouraging to that hope than they appear to be at the present time, and may the associated distribution of the Bible proceed and prosper till the Lord shall have made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God.
Mm.
Pretty good words from John Quincy Adams. He says is the way in which Jesus will bring about his church, the way in which the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of the Lord, will come by the distribution of the Word of God, by the access to the Word of God, to families, to churches, to every tribe and nation around the world. The Word of God, so basic to reconstructing our families and our nation. So the Family Bible Conference is sponsored by Generations, and it will be held in Washington, D.C. on the week of August 7th. For more information, of course, check out our website, generations.org. Jesus said the wise men built his house upon the rock. And I think that applies to everything, Bill. I think that applies to our lives, our marriages, our families, our homes, and our nation. I think that applies to all of it.
So you're saying there's no distinction between the sacred, secular,
yeah.
That there's no dichotomy there, that
yeah.
Everything comes under the authority of Scripture.
That's right. And we must build our education, our schools, our politics, everything on Jesus' words in Old and New Testament. And of course, some have said, yeah, we've abandoned that 40, 50 years ago, but so far, so good. We've abandoned God's word. 40, 50 years ago, it's no longer taught in American public schools. And we've been doing just fine over these 50 years. Oh, yes, 57% of our kids are born outside of wedlock, up from 6% in 1960 when we abandoned God's word. And oh, yes, we're into our debt to GDP ratio to 108%, up from 26% back in 1960. Yeah, I understand. Yeah. Socioeconomically, we're breaking down. The whole civilization is crumbling around us, but so far, so good. To which we say, boy, you sound like the guy who just fell out of the 100-story building. Right around the 27th floor, you're saying,
so far, so good.
No. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And when the rains came, when the storms came, when the depression hit, when our socioeconomic systems began to crumble, the man who built his house upon the rock will stand. And that's the point that Jesus makes in this passage. This is the end of the great sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. You'll find it in Matthew chapter 7. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And that wise man is the one who hears Jesus' words and does them. So check out our conference, Build Your Family on the rock of God's word. The Family Bible Conference is coming to Washington, D.C. on the week of August 7th. We're including for speakers Ken Ham from Answers in Genesis, Ray Comfort, Steve Green, who is the president of Hobby Lobby, and the mind and the investments behind the Bible Museum in Washington, D.C. He's coming to our conference. And, of course, myself and others will be at the conference. Check it out, friends, at our website, generations.org. It's the one-in-a-lifetime visit to Washington, D.C., where you can experience Washington, D.C. from a biblical perspective. You can understand more of the biblical foundations of the nation and certainly the importance of the Bible to this nation and to the world by visiting the Bible Museum, and then come to our conference, the Bible Conference, just outside of Washington, D.C., on that weekend, Friday and Saturday. For more information, again, check it out at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.